For WMRA News, I'm Kimberly Daggy. Do ban the box laws do more harm than good? The high cost of higher education is getting even higher, and a present for expectant parents. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, August 24th. Support for the WMRA Daily comes from Blue Ridge Community College. When you earn a two-year associate degree, transferring to a four-year college is possible through their guaranteed transfer agreement programs. More information at brcc.edu. Do ban the box laws do more harm than good? That policy, which removes the box on a job application form that asks about a job seeker's criminal history, aims to give ex-felons a better chance to re-enter the workforce. Some praise the policy's impact, but research suggests it might have unfortunate unintended consequences and may even harm young black applicants. WMRA's Marguerite Gallarini reports.
In the U.S., roughly 70 million people have a criminal history, and that can make re-entry into the workforce difficult. That's why 29 states, including Virginia in 2015, have adopted so-called ban-the-box laws to mask that history. But do they work? That's the main question posed by Jennifer Doliak, assistant professor of public policy and economics at UVA's Frank Batten School, who recently co-authored a study on the subject.
The best evidence from employer surveys and kind of other research that's been done has shown that employers seem particularly worried about people who very recently come out of prison, because it could signal that you're still criminally active. In that context, they'd be most worried about young men. Older men are very unlikely to be committing crime.
Doliak's study does show that employment increases for older black men and black women. Her biggest worry, though, is the harm done to young black men, who are statistically more likely to be incarcerated than white men, and therefore more likely to be discriminated against.
Employers don't just assume the best about everybody. They try to guess who has a criminal record, and then they discriminate against young black men instead. Removing the information doesn't remove the discrimination. It broadens the discrimination to the entire group that you're trying to help. Seems like the story is that public employers, government employers, are hiring older black men instead of the young black men. But private employers are hiring young white men instead of young black men.
Ban the box isn't causing that racial discrimination. If anything, it's exposing the racial discrimination that's already there.
That's Phil Hernandez, a staff attorney at the National Employment Law Project, NELP for short. The organization advocates for worker rights across the board, and it is one of the biggest critics of Doliak's study.
I think it's a reminder that there are really two forms of discrimination happening here, and we have to be vigilant about both. Even as ban-the-box policies are reducing discrimination against people with criminal records, we still are seeing that racial discrimination in the hiring process remains deeply entrenched. And so from our perspective, the answer isn't to just say, well, racial discrimination is happening, so let's get rid of ban-the-box policies. Our answer is to do more and not less. Let's also have a comprehensive approach to target the root of the problem of racial discrimination.
They clearly have a lot more faith in our ability to enforce our way out of this problem than I do. If we think that we could meaningfully ramp up our enforcement of anti-discrimination law in the future and reduce employers' use of race in hiring, then maybe those effects would change. But these were the effects that we saw in the context of 2004 to 2014, given the level of enforcement during that period.
Although they disagree on ban the box, both Doliak and Hernandez are in favor of additional measures to address this complex issue. As a potential alternative, Doliak suggests the idea of employability certificates.
It's not ban the box or nothing, right? So these employability certificates are one example that seems really promising. In their current form, they're court-issued certificates. So if you have a criminal record, you can go before a judge. And if you're able to convince the judge that you've rehabilitated yourself and that you'd make a good employee, he or she can give you one of these certificates. Some researchers at the University of South Carolina found that the people who had the same conviction but they had a certificate were called back at equal rates to those who had no conviction at all.
We're not opposed to certificate programs. The one thing we would want to make sure of is that those programs aren't actually creating more barriers for people with criminal records.
On top of ban the box, Hernandez wishes to see more investment in apprenticeships and more enforcement of the already existing guidance from the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, which a majority of employers are compliant with.
We also are very interested in doing more work around occupational licensing reform. These are situations in which you have to get basically permission from a state agency before you're able to engage in work. In too many states, we've found that there are categorical bans on individuals with criminal records. So that's another barrier that we're trying to take down.
Doliak is also part of a project aiming to facilitate prisoners' re-entry into society.
So I'm working with Ben Castleman, who's also a professor at UVA, and we are implementing a tablet-based module in jails. It's a series of questions that point you to resources in your community that can help address whatever needs you have coming out of jail. And I think part of the challenge in trying to solve this problem is that this population has a lot of needs. So they need to find a job, they need to find stable housing. And so it helps inmates develop a transition plan before they get out. And then after they get out, we send them text messages to help them stay on track. We just launched in a large jail facility last month.
She hopes the results of that project will help researchers and policymakers understand how best to help former felons find work and to avoid unfair discrimination. For WMRA News, I am Marguerite Gallerini.
The Vietnam War is the focus of a new PBS documentary produced by Ken Burns and Lynn Novick. Mark Silverstone, Associate Professor in Presidential Studies at UVA's Miller Center, and a specialist of the Cold War and the Vietnam War, discussed his role as a consultant for the film with WMRA's Marguerite Gallerini yesterday.
Historian Mark Silverstone provided important sources and feedback during the making of the new PBS documentary on the Vietnam War. As chair of the Miller Center's Presidential Recordings Program, he edits the secret White House tapes of Presidents John F. Kennedy, Lyndon Johnson, and Richard Nixon.
There's a real disparity between the public optimism of so many officials and their private pessimism. It's that gap between what the public was being told and what the policymakers were thinking and wondering about their capacity to win this war.
The tapes notably show Nixon tampering with peace negotiations so that the war would not end until after he was elected. Another topic addressed in the film is that of American exceptionalism.
People of that era, the early 1960s, believed that they were going over there to do good. It changes in the latter part of the 1960s. And then there's a sense of we really are perhaps capable of doing ill. And there's that realization on the part of many who were fighting at the time. I think one of Ken and Lynn's objectives is to give the public a better sense of who the people were that went through this war as part of an opportunity to give us a chance to heal.
For WMRA News, I am Marguerite Gallerini.
Across Virginia, the cost of higher education is skyrocketing. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope digs into the numbers.
It's back to school time. So hold on to your wallets, folks, because since the recession, the cost of tuition has more than doubled at Virginia Commonwealth University and at the College of William and Mary. Statistics compiled by the Commonwealth Institute show even Northern Virginia Community College has increased its tuition by 84% since 2008. Frank Shafroth is a professor at George Mason University, where tuition has increased 41% since the recession.
46 states. All but Montana, North Dakota, Wisconsin, and Wyoming have reduced state aid for higher public education.
Sally Hudson at the University of Virginia says part of the reason for the spike has nothing to do with state aid. Part of the reason that the cost of tuition at UVA has increased 61% since the recession is...
The institution made a conscious choice that it was going to raise the sticker price so that those paying full freight would be funding increased financial aid for lower-income families. It's redistribution.
During the same time that the cost of higher education has spiraled out of control, other commodities have actually declined in cost. The cost of the average home in Virginia has declined about 7% since the recession because of the housing bubble. And the cost of milk has declined 15%. That's because of the commodity boom during the late 2000s. I'm Michael Pope.
Expectant parents in Virginia will soon be eligible for a free baby box. The cardboard boxes, fit with a firm mattress, are meant to encourage safe sleeping practices. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain has the story.
Hundreds of babies die each year from suffocation while sharing a bed with an adult. Baby boxes, distributed along with educational resources on safe sleeping practices, are commonly used in Finland. Beginning in September, Virginia will join five other states that distribute the boxes for free to new parents. Bill Hazel is Virginia's Secretary of Health.
The boxes are distributed to people that have agreed to have the education component. Again, it's not just about a box. It's about the education.
The boxes and education resources are provided for free by a for-profit company. In exchange, they get access to a customer base for their online store. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
Learn more about today's stories on our website, WMRA.org. For WMRA News, I'm Kimberly Daggy. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great day.